نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم بعد يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد Before we begin, we'd like to mention that وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدُ الَّذِي بِنِعْمَتِهِ تَتِمُّ الصَّالِحَاتِ Today is the first day of one of those 4 months of which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says إِنَّ عِدَّةَ الشُّهُورِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَثْنَى عَشْرَ شَهْرًا بِكِتَابِ اللَّهِ يَوْمَ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ مِنْهَا أَرْبَعَةٌ حُرُمٌ ذلك الدين القيم فلا تظلموا فيهن أنفسكم. The interpretation of the meaning of this ayah, which we believe is in Surah At-Tawbah, inshallah, is that verily the number of months with Allah is 12 months. So was it ordained by Allah. It was ordained by Allah on the day when He created the heavens and the earth. Of them, أَرْبَعَةٌ حُرُمٌ. Of them is 4 sacred months. Of them are 4 that are sacred, that are حُرُم, that are حَرَام. ذَلِكَ دِينٌ قَيِّمٌ. That is the right religion. فَلَا تَظْلِمُوا فِيهِنَّ أَنفُسَكُمْ. So do not wrong yourselves in these months. So do not wrong yourselves therein. And we find a narration from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam فِيمَا رَوَاهُ الْبُخَارِيُّ وَمُسْلِمُ عَنْ أَبِي بُكْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْهُ عَنِ النَّبِيِّ sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam قَالَ أَثْبَتَتُ اثْنَا عَشْرَ شَهْرًا منها أربعة حرم ثلاث متواليات ذو القعدة وذو الحجة والمحرم ورجب مضر الذي بين جمادى وشعبان. This hadith is connected by Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim and is narrated by Abu Bakr, but Abu Bakr, رضي الله تعالى عنه, that the Prophet, صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وبركاته, said, السنة إثنى عشر شهرا, that a month or the year, that the year is 12 months. The year is 12 months. منها أربعة حرم. Exactly the way Allah said it in that ayah. From amongst them, there are 4 that are sacred. بنات متواليات. Three consecutive months. And then the Prophet, salawatu Allahi wa salamu alayhi, he began to name them. He said, Bulqa'adati. This is Bulqa'ada, the month that just passed us yesterday. Or Bulshitsha, the month that we're in today, the first day of that month. Wal Muharramu. And Muharram. Wa Rajabu Mudam. And Rajab, the month of Mudam. الذي بين جمادى وشعبان, that which comes between جمادى and شعبان. And we know that the ulama of Islam, they say the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم called it ورجب مضم, because مضم is from the ancestors of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and out of all the pagan tribes, they were the only ones that used to keep these things sacred. They were the only ones. If you go back to Surah Tawbah and look at the verses and how they come to get the basic meaning of what the ulama has said, how they presented it to us, you'll see that they used to change these months up. They used to take the sacred month because they wanted to fight and kill in those months, as the ulama have explained to us this past week. And then they used to fight in them, changing the name of them, etc. So this particular tribe of Mudam was from the Prophet's ancestors, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were the only ones that kept it sacred. They kept the shurma, the sacredness of it. Well, this is the reason why the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, وَرَجُبُ مُضَمْ الَّذِي بَيْنَ جُمَادَ وَشَعْبَانَ. Then the month of Mudam, attaching it or ascribing it or making that word Rajab, that month, juxtaposed to that tribe of pagans who kept the sacredness of that month. That month of Rajab between Jumada and Sha'ban. So today is the first day of that month. That is the month of Dhul Hijjah, one of the sacred, four sacred months. And ulama, they say that these months are called sacred for two reasons. The tahreem al-qital fiha illa an. The first reason is because fighting in these 4 months, and this month also, because we're in this month now, fighting in this month is prohibited. Illa an yabda' al-adu, except that the enemy initiated that battle, or the enemy initiated that fight. Number one, that it is impermissible to fight in this month. Why? Because it's one of the months of Shura. Unless it is initiated by the enemy, as Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah and others have brought. The second reason is that the Shura is in the Hajj and the Maharam fiha, the Shaddu min ghayriha. The second reason is because any type of violation, any type of sin, any type of transgression, any type of going over the limits of those things that have been made sacred by Allah is worse in this month than those other 3 months, Dhul-Qa'adah, Al-Muharram, Al-Rajab. Transgression of the sacred limits during these 4 months is worse than the other months. It's worse than the other months. The remaining month. We want to begin like this because we are talking today about the superiority of Abu Bakr and Umar. رضي الله تعالى عنهما. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased that he was pleased with Abu Bakr and Umar. We've heard a lot about Abu Bakr and Umar and the Sahaba in general and them specifically. We've heard countless speeches, countless classes about the virtue and superiority of the Sahaba in general, and Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali specifically. So we want to follow up with that, with the statement of some of the ulama of today, like Sheikh Rabi'ah, Jews. Of these specific companions, and he means the three, that is Abu Bakr and Umar. And Uthman is what Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala anhu has stated, that we were with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam in a garden from the gardens of Medina, and a man came asking to come into the garden. The man came seeking the permission to enter to that garden. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, let him in and give him glad tidings of paradise. And we know this goes back to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Abd al-Rahman ibn Auf, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Abu Bakr fil Jannah, wa Umar fil Jannah, wa Uthman fil Jannah, wa Ali fil Jannah, wa Talha fil Jannah, wa Zubair fil Jannah, wa Abd al-Rahman ibn Auf fil Jannah, wa Sa'd fil Jannah, wa Sa'id fil Jannah, wa Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah fil Jannah. That Abu Bakr will be in paradise, and Umar will be in paradise, and Uthman will be in paradise, and Ali will be in paradise, and Talha will be in paradise, and Az-Zubair will be in paradise, and Abdurrahman ibn Auf, who was the narrator of this hadith, and like the guide of Ahmed and others, Abdurrahman ibn Auf will be in paradise. And Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas will be in paradise. And Sa'id ibn Ziyad will be in paradise. And Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah will be in paradise. So the hadith of Abu Musa, the Sheikh Rabi'ah brings, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, he said that this man came seeking entrance into the garden. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam let him in, said, let him in, and give him glad tidings of paradise. So Sheikh Rabi'ah says, so they let him in. And behold, it was Abu Bakr, radiallahu ta'ala anhu wa radahu. So I gave him the glad tidings of what the Prophet said, meaning Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, the noble companion, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, I gave him the glad tidings of what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, meaning I conveyed to Abu Bakr the one who was asking permission to come into the garden. In another narration, and it's by Imam Muslim, it says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had his feet in a well. You know how we say skinny dipping, something like this. He had his feet in a well, and a man asked to come in, and it was Abu Bakr. So Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, he let him in, and he gave Abu Bakr, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the glad tidings of what the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Abu Bakr praised Allah. And then another man took entrance into this garden. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, let him in and give him glad tidings of paradise. So Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, said, so I let him in, and behold, it was Umar. So I informed him of what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam said, and he praised Allah. And we want to stop here again. In the other narration, where his feet was in the well, and Abu Bakr asked to come in, and was given the glad tidings by the companion, by way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I should say the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by way of the companion, it says that that man, who we know now as Abu Bakr, as Siddiq radiallahu anhu, sat on the right side of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once again showing his excellence. And then when Umar, in the other narration, asked to come in and was given permission to come in and was told the glad tidings of him being in paradise, he sat on the left side of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the narration continues, Sheikh Rabi'ah says, and another man sought entrance, and he said to me, let him in, and give him glad tidings of paradise after a trial that will befall him. And behold, there was Uthman, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he said, I informed him of what the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, had said. So he praised Allah, and then he said, have been agreed upon about these three companions. Of course, the two of them that we will highlight this afternoon when you sit the bar of Allah will be Unna. The Sheikh Rabi says, so what is narrated from Nafir, from Ibn Umar, رضي الله تعالى عنه, he said that we used to show preference during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. We used to show preference in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam to Abu Bakr, and then Umar, and then Uthman, رضوان الله عليهم أجمعين. And then Sheikh Rabi says, in another narration by him, he said, we, during the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did not consider anyone the equal of Abu Bakr, or as he said, then Umar, and Uthman. Then we would remain silent and would not prefer the other companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The Sheikh Rabi, he says, that meaning we would not refer the other companions of Muhammad above them. So Sheikh Rabi'a, habibullah, he continues, he says, it is befitting that we know the virtues of these three companions, and of course, we're only highlighting once again, Abu Bakr and Umar, radiallahu ta'ala. And the Sheikh gives us the reason. He says, because the enemies of Allah concentrate on these three. The enemies of Allah concentrate on these three, especially, meaning those enemies, the Rafidah. Especially the Rafidah. Because they have with them insults, Sheikh Rabi'a says. They have with them insults that cannot be enumerated. They cannot even be counted. And the Rafidah declare them to be disbelievers. And the reason why, Sheikh Rabi'a says, is because they are the ones that overthrew the kingdoms of Persia and the Caesars, and they were the ones that demolished the disbelieving kingdom. So Sheikh Rabi'a says, so that the hearts of the Jews, the hearts of the Christians, the hearts of the Rawafid, of the Rafid al-Shia, they are boiling. They are boiling with hatred against the Sahaba of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because they brought down the kingdoms of the Kufar and raised the banner of Islam in the greatest places on earth. They raised the banner of Islam in the greatest place on earth. So Sheikh Rabi'a says, for that reason, the Sahaba, meaning the Sahaba of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have victory and triumph at the highest level. And for this reason, the Jews and the Christians and the Rafidah concentrate on them. Then Sheikh Rabi'a, habibullah ta'ala, he says, from both the virtues specifically about Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, رضي الله تعالى عنه, is what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about him. He says, إِنَّ مِنْ أَمَنِّ النَّاسِ إِنَّ مِنْ أَمَنِّ النَّاسِ عَلَيَّ فِي صُحْبَتِهِ وَمَالِهِ أَبَا بَكْرٍ وَلَوْ كُنْتُ مُتَّخِذًا خَلِيلًا غَيْرُ رَبِّي اتخذتوا أبا بكر خليلا. اتخذت أبا بكر خليلا. شرذية حبيبه الله تعالى. He says, from that which is specific to Abu Bakr, is what the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم has said, verily, from the people, the one who has safeguarded me the most with his companionship and his wealth is Abu Bakr. And if I were to take a khalil, if I were to take a close bosom friend, other than my Rabb as a khalil, I would have surely taken Abu Bakr as a khalil. I would have surely taken Abu Bakr as a khalil. He said, but this is not befitting except with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not befitting except with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took the Prophet Ibrahim as a khalil. and he took the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam as a khalif. And for this reason, Sheikh Rabia says, for this reason, the death of the Prophet of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then Ibrahim alayhi sallam, and that which caused them to obtain this high, noble, honored position, is that they are both the Khalil of Rabbul Alameen. That they are both the Khalil of the Lord of everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. Then he went on and he said, وَلَكِنْ أُخُوَّةِ الْإِسْلَامِ وَمَوَدَّتُهُ لَا يَسْتِينَ فِي الْمَسْجِدْ بَابِ إِلَّا تُبَّ إِلَّا بَابِ أَبِي بَكُرْ. He says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith connected by Bukhari and Muslim, al-Qalamahu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he says that the brotherhood of Islam is sufficient and Abu Bakr's love, meaning will remain. He says, do not leave any door to the masjid without closing it off, apart from the door of Abu Bakr, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Sheikh Rabi'i, he continues, he says, so therefore, or in addition to this, it's been narrated by Ibn Abbas, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَلَوْ كُنْتُ مُتَّخِذًا خَلِيلًا لَاتَّخَذْتُ أَبَا بَكْرٍ وَلَكِنْ أَخِي وَصَاحِبِي. So if I, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, if I were to take anyone as a friend, I would surely have taken Abu Bakr. But he is my brother, and he is my companion. He is my brother, and he is my companion. Sheikh Ubayy al-Tabiri, Habibullah ta'ala, in his new book, called Taba' al-Najaja, he shows his sahih al-Muqaddama min Sunan al-Imam ibn Majah. He says, under this chapter, the fada'il ashab Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Fadlu Abi Bakr al-Siddiq. Under the chapter, in this particular book of the Muqaddama, the explanation of the Muqaddama of al-Imam ibn Majah, under the section, the excellence and the superiority of the companions of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and more specifically, Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, he brings the narration عن عبد الله رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم ألا إني أقرأ إلى كل خليل من خلته ولو كنت متخذا خليلا لاتخذت أبا بكر خليلا إن صاحبكم خليل الله إن صاحبكم خليل الله. قال وكيع يعني نفسه. وقال الشيخ الألباني صحيح. شيخ عبيد حفظه الله تعالى من giving the explanation of this hadith in the مقدمة of الإمام ابن ماجه الصلاة. The hadith of the authority of Abdullah, when he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, indeed, without doubt, I declare. I declare, meaning I declare to Allah that everyone has a khalil from his khulla. Everyone has a close bosom friend from amongst the friends. If I were to take anyone as a khalil or as a friend, I would have taken Abu Bakr as a khalil or friend. Indeed, your companion, meaning your companion Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is a khalil of Allah. And then Waqir, rahimahullah, he said, what he meant by that was, he meant himself. And then we have the statement of Sheikh Ubayy where he said that Sheikh al-Albani has deemed this hadith as sahih. And my beloved sisters, barakallahu fi kunna, may Allah bless you all. Sheikh Ubayy he says, in this hadith, هذا الحديث يتضمن مسألتين. It's comprised of two important matters, two issues. He says, المسألة الأولى, the first issue, إخبار النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه لا يسوء له أن يتخذ خليلا من أمته. وإضافة هذا فيما أخرجه مسلم عن جندب بن عبد الله. عن جندب بن عبد الله رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: إني أطلب إلى الله أن يكون لي منكم خليل، فإن الله تعالى قد اتخذني خليلا كما اتخذ إبراهيم خليلا، ولو كنت متخذا من أمتي خليلا لاتخذت أبا بكر خليلا. The first issue, Sheikh Ubaid, in giving us great benefit in his explanation and comment of what the noble Imam Ibn Majah has done and has compiled, he says the first issue is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is informing us that it is not permissible for him to take anyone as a Khalil from his Ummah. That it is not permissible, not allowed, that he take a Khalil from his Ummah. That's the first issue. He continues. He says, and the explanation and clarification of this is what is collected by the noble Imam Ahmad, the noble Imam Muslim, in his Sahih from Jundub ibn Abdullah, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam said, Indeed, I declare that to Allah, that if I were to have anyone from amongst you as a Khalil, if I were to choose anyone from amongst you as a Khalil, or if there were to be anyone from amongst you as a Khalil, then indeed Allah the Most High would have taken me as a Khalil, as he took Ibrahim as a Khalil. And if I were to choose anyone from my ummah as a Khalil, then I would have chosen Abu Bakr, radiallahu anhu, as a Khalil. Sheikh Ubaid, he continues, he says, for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man hiyun an yattakhida huwa nafsuhu khaleelan min ummatihi. That for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is prohibited that he takes for himself from his nation, from his ummah, a khaleel. This Shaykh Ubaid, as he always does, he gives us a very, very beautiful benefit. He says, well, what is Quran? Now here's a question. Sahha an Abi Hurairata radiallahu ta'ala wa akhiri wa akhiri min ashab al-Nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qawluhum. He says, it is authentic, incorrect, from Abu Huraira, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and from others, and from those others, Sheikh Ubaid, who means by others, is Abu Dharr, for instance, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He says it is confirmed to be correct from Abu Bakr and other companions of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that they used to say, qala khalili, or أمرني خليلي or سمعت خليلي or أوصاني خليلي. And the companions, that is Abu Huraira and Abu Dharr and others, they used to say, my Khalil said, or my Khalil, my bosom took into his friend, ordered me, or I heard my Khalil, I heard my intimate bosom friend say, or my Khalil advised me. Sheikh Ubaid, Allahu ta'ala, he says, فَنَقُولْ هَذَا الْوَصْفُ لَيْسَ مِنَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ بَلْ هُوَ وَصْفٌ مَنْ أَصْحَابِهِ لَهُ بِالْخُلَّةِ وَهُوَ خَلِيلُهُمْ وَخَلِيلُ جَمِيعِ أُمَّتِهِ. هذه من أهل الإسلام والسنة. فإذا يفرق بين هذا وهذا، فهذا الأخير جائز من غير نكير. شيخ عبيد to clear up any ambiguity or any cloudiness or vagary that may come to our minds, any type of confusion, when we hear Abu Huraira, or when we hear Abu Dharr, or when we hear any of the companions saying, my Khalil said, or my Khalil ordered me, or I heard my Khalil say, or my Khalil advised me. He says, we say that this description is not from the Prophet, meaning, when they're using the term Khalil, it is not the Prophet that is making that description of himself as a Khalil to them, but rather it is the companions in themselves calling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Khalil and saying that they have this khulla, this close friendship, this intimate bosom friendship with him. He says, because he is their Khalil, and he's the Khalil of all of his ummah and the ummah of Islam and the Sunnah. He says, so we should be very careful. In other words, my words, we should be very careful to make the distinction between this and the distinction between that. Because the other side, meaning with the companions, is to say, my Khalil, my Khalil, my Khalil, my Khalil. He says, this is permissible, without doubt, without any objection, this is permissible. Then, Sheikh Ubaid, he says, to show once again the excellence of Abu Bakr in this particular narration. He says, المسألة الثانية الشاهد منه فضيلة أبي بكر رضي الله تعالى عنه فهي منقبة من مناقبه رضي الله تعالى عنه ومناقبه على أهل الإسلام جملة لا تحصى وبذلك الإشارة إلى إمامته وأنه خليفة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ولهذا قال بعض أهل العلم إمامة أبي بكر وخمامته ثابتة بنص رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ورضي الله تعالى عنه. The second issue in the citation that we wanted the Sheikh was to mention is the excellence and the superiority of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq رضي الله تعالى عنه, and that it is a virtue from amongst his virtues that this narration, that if I were to take anyone as a Khalil, that the Khalil would have a Bakr and Khalil, I would have taken Abu Bakr and the Khalil. Sheikh Ubaid says that this is a manqaba. This is a virtue from amongst his virtues. It is a virtue from amongst the virtues of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And his virtue, meaning his excellence, qualities, and superiority over the people of Islam in general, that can't even be weighed, that can't even be measured, that can't even be calculated. And this is why, and I stop here just to make a point, this is why we find narration where Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, no one that comes to me, preferring me over Abu Bakr and Umar, except that I would lash him with the punishment of a slanderer. No one, Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, would come to me, preferring me over Abu Bakr and Umar, the extent that I would lash him, meaning lash him with the punishment of slander. And Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, he said that Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu named his two sons Abu Bakr and Umar. Abu Bakr and Umar. So Sheikh Ubaid, habibullah ta'ala, he said, that this shows the virtue from amongst the virtues and superiority and the excellent qualities of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu and his virtues and excellent qualities over the people of Islam in general. They can't even be enumerated. And he says, likewise, this is an indication of his imam. This is an indication of him being an imam. meaning him being the Khalifa of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is why Sheikh Ubayd said, and some of the people of knowledge say, that the Imama, or the Imamis, as they call it, the Imamis of Abu Bakr and his Khilafa, being the Khalifa, is affirmed by the textual statements of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. In addition to that, Sheikh Ubayd, habibuhu Allah ta'ala, he says that the Khawarij, that they, innahum yukafirun aliyyan, wa man qatalahu ma'ahu min as-sahabati wa khiyar as-tabi'in. He says that the Khawarij, they make takfir on Ali, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and those who fought with him, from amongst the companions, and the choices of those from amongst the Tabi'un. Sheikh Ubayd, he says that this is one side, meaning a group of the people, meaning the Khawarij, who did this. He says, and from that, there's a third group. And he meant, we're leaving out the first group for a reason. There's a third group, and they are called the Nawasir. So he starts mentioning about the Khawarij. He says, أَلَّذِينَ يُنَاسَهُونَ عَلِيًّا وَآلَ بَيْتَ الْعَدُوَّةَ هُمَا الْعَدَاوَةَ. He says, and then there's a third group, and once again, we're leaving out the first group that was mentioned for a reason. The third group, amongst them, that are connected to the Khawarij, are those people who align themselves, or make attribution to Ali and the people of the house of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but they do it in a way of hatred and animosity and rancor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Then Sheikh Ubayd, habibullah ta'ala, he brings the explanation of the other hadith that Imam Ibn Majah brings, and Abi Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu qala, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما نفعني مال أبي بكر. قال فبكى أبو بكر وقال يا رسول الله هل أنا ومالي إلا لك يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. وفي سورية أبو هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه رسالة that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam said, no wealth ever benefited me. No wealth ever benefited me like the benefit that I got from the wealth of Abu Bakr. No wealth ever benefited me like the wealth from Abu Bakr had benefited me. So then the narrator Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that Abu Bakr began to cry. And he said, O Messenger of Allah, as for me, my wealth is only for you and you only. O Messenger of Allah, my wealth and myself. As for me, then me and my wealth is for no one except the Messenger of Allah, O Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sheikh Ubayd, habibullah ta'ala, after mentioning that Sheikh al-Abbani said that the hadith is sahih, he says, وَهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ فِيهِ أَوَّلًا الْمَنْقَبَةُ الثَّانِيَةُ مِنْ مَنَاقِبِ الصِّدِّيقِ رضي الله تعالى عنه أعني أبا بكر عبد الله ابن أبي الصحابة. The first thing that the Sheikh says, Sheikh Ubayd, commenting on this noble hadith connected in the Muqaddama of the noble Imam Ibn Majah رحمه تعالى, the first thing he says is that this is the second virtue among the virtues of As-Siddiq. That is, Hamid Abu Bakr Abdullah, whom the ulama say that his name, Abu Bakr's name, was Abdullah. That is, Abu Bakr Abdullah ibn Abi Quhafa, the son of Abu Quhafa. به باطنا وظاهرا، فإنه يكون ومحا تقيا باهدا متواضعا. The second thing that we find in this hadith, Sheikh Ubayy says, is the modesty of Abu Bakr, the piety of Abu Bakr, the asceticism of Abu Bakr. And this is for anyone whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a completion of his iman. A completion of his iman. And he says, and gives him that outwardly, and gives that to him inwardly. That he is inwardly and outwardly, meaning complete. He is complete. He says, فَإِنَّهُ يَكُونُ وَرْعًا تَقِيًّا زَاهِدًا مُتَوَاضِعًا. And so because of that, meaning because of his iman, he is a person of piety. He is a person of fear of Allah. He is a person who has asceticism. He is a person who is extremely modest. And if we look, if we look at the statements of the ulama of the past, starting with the Sahaba, from the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like Umar ibn Khattab, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where he said, if the iman of Abu Bakr was weighed against the iman of the people of the earth, the iman of Abu Bakr would outweigh the others. And Umar, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he had the right to say this. Umar, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, had the right to say this. Why? Because the message of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he had a dream. And in that dream, the message of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he said, indeed I had a vision. Meaning I had a dream. Indeed I had a vision. Previously. Indeed, I had a vision last night. And in that dream, he says, I saw the fatigue of my qadir and my wazim. Indeed, in that dream, I saw my qadir and my wazim. The actual narration, إِنِّي رَأَيْتُ بَانِثًا كَأَنِّي أُوتِيتُ الْمَقَامِيرِ وَالْمَوَازِينِ فأما المقاليد فهي المفاتيح وأما الموازين فهي موازينكم هذه فرأيت كأني وضعت في كفة الميزان ووضعت أمتي في كفة فرجحت بهم ثم وضع أبو بكر ووضعت أمتي فرجح بهم ثم وضع عمر ووضعت أمتي فرجح الميزان بهم ثم وضع عثمان to the end of the narration of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and this is why Umar رضي الله تعالى عنه said, indeed if the iman of Abu Bakr was weighed against the iman of the people of the earth, the iman of Abu Bakr would outweigh the others. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, indeed I saw previously, meaning the night before, indeed I saw that I had been brought with maqalid, one mawazin. He says, as for the maqalid, then they are al-mafatih, then they are the keys. وَأَمَّا الْمَوَازِينَ, then they are your scales, meaning the scales that your deeds will be put on. He says, فَرَأَيْتُ كَأَنِّي وَضِعْتُ فِي كِفَّةٍ مِيزَانٍ. And for surety, I saw as though I was placed on the cup of a scale. وَوُضِعَتْ أُمَّتِي فِي كِفَّةٍ. And my ummah was placed, meaning my entire ummah was placed on the other cup of the scale. فَرَجَحْتُ بِهِمْ. And I, meaning the Prophet of Allah, I outweighed them. I outweighed them. He says, ثُمَّ وُضِعَ أَبُو بَكْرٍ وَوُضِعَتْ أُمَّتِي فَرَجَحَ بِهِمْ. And then Abu Bakr was placed, and my ummah was placed, and he outweighed them. And he outweighed them. ثُمَّ وُضِعَ عُمَرُ وَوُضِعَتْ أُمَّتِي فَرَجَحَ الْمِيزَانُ. and then Uthman was made to this, to the end of the narration. So we have the ulama who have explained this, the statement of Umar, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that if the iman of Abu Bakr was weighed against the iman of the people of the earth, and likewise as we hear this narration, Umar also, that if the iman of Abu Bakr was weighed against the iman of the people of the earth, the iman of Abu Bakr would outweigh the others. And then the statement of the Messenger of Allah in that dream, which we know that Shaykh al-Bani said, and it's a comment on this, that his dream, of course, is revelation. The ulama of the past, like Bakr ibn Abd al-Nadi al-Wazani, and the ulama of the day, like Shaykh Saleh ibn Fawzan al-Fawzan, they say, أن أبا بكر لم يقدر الناس بكثرة الصلاة ولا صيام وإنما فضلهم بشيء وقر في قلبه. شيخ بكر ابن عبد الله المزني with authentic chain and شيخ صالح روزان of the day commenting on this. He said they say that indeed Abu Bakr did not have excellence over the rest of the people because of an abundance of praying or fasting. The Abu Bakr, and likewise Umar, from that hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his dream of what he saw, Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma did not have superiority or excellence over the other people, meaning the other Sahaba, because of praying more than them, or because of fasting more than them, but rather that Abu Bakr, and we add to that Umar, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, had over them, but because of something that occurred in their heart. But because of something that occurred in their heart, meaning Iman. وعن علي radiallahu ta'ala anhu قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أبو بكر وعمر سيدا كهول أهل الجنة من الأولين والآخرين إلا النبيين والمرسلين لا تخبرهما يا علي لا تخبرهما يا علي ما داما حيين. قال الشيخ الألباني رحمه الله صحيح. The noble Imam Ibn Majah in his Muqaddama, he brings the hadith from Ali, رضي الله تعالى عنه, where he said that the Messenger of Allah, صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم, said that Abu Bakr and Umar are the leaders of the elders of the people of paradise. The Prophet, صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Messenger of Allah, صلوات الله وسلامه عليه, said, and indeed, Abu Bakr and Umar are the leaders, are the masters of the elderly people, of the people of paradise, from the first to the last, except for the prophets and the messengers. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, O Ali, do not inform them of this. O Ali, do not inform them of this as long as the two of them are still alive. As long as the two of them are still alive. Beloved sisters, barakallahu fi kunna, this hadith that the noble Imam of Hadith, Ibn Majah, rahimahullah ta'ala, and that Shaykh Mubayy, as we're going to present now, made some explanation and some comments upon it. This hadith is tremendous. It shows the virtue and the superiority of Abu Bakr and Umar, radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. And it shows one of the many reasons why the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, إِنِّي لَا أَدْرِي مَا قَدْرُ بَقَائِي فِيكُمْ فَقْتَدُوا بِالَّذِينِ مِنْ بَعْدِي وَأَشَارَ إِلَىٰ أَبِي بَكْرٍ وَعُمَرٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ. The narration with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, I don't know what's going to be the measure of those who remain amongst you after me. He said, so follow those eyes, and it's a very good benefit that Sheikh Ubaid is going to give us. The narrator of this hadith is Ali, radiallahu ta'ala, who he said, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, Abu Bakr and Umar are the masters and the leaders of the elderly people of Jannah. He says, that is from the first of them and the last, excepting to the exception of the prophets and the messengers. Don't inform them of this Ali as long as they are alive. Sheikh Ubay says, هذا الحديث يتضمن ثلاث مسائل. This hadith is comprised of three matters. المسألة الأولى شهادة سيد آل البيت رضي الله تعالى عنه أجمعين الشيخين في هذه المنقبة الأخروية العظيمة سيد كهول أهل الجنة ولا يستثنى إلا النبيون والمرسلون لأن النبيين والمرسلين لا يفوقهم أحد وفي هذا رد على غلاة المتصوفة الذين يرون لأولياء منازل فوق الأنبياء وهذا كفر صريح وفي هذا أعني شهادة علي رضي الله عنه للشيخين بهذه الشهادة التي هي نص رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قاصمة لظهور الرافضة ورد عليهم وأنهم يرتكبون جرما عظيما بل تقول هو كفر حين يصفون الشيخين ويمقتونهما وينعنوهما وينعنون بنتيهما والرافضة متفقون معنا في فضل علي رضي الله عنه وإن كنا نخالفهم في أن علي رضي الله عنه هو رابع الأربع وهو يرون أنه أفضل الصحابة لكن الشاهد أن فضله متقرر عندنا أهل السنة وعندهم فكيف لا يقبلون هذه الشهادة؟ The first issue. Of the three issues that Sheikh Ubay brings for our benefit is the testimony of the leader or the master of the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or the two sheikhs. The two sheikhs meaning Abu Bakr and Umar. And this is a side note for the sisters. When we say the two sheikhs, you have to be careful to take and take note of who is speaking and what subject you're talking about. Because if we're talking about, for instance, hadith, and you say the two sheikhs, then we know we're talking about Bukhari and Muslim. But if you're talking about history, then we're talking about Abu Bakr and Umar. So pay attention to that. If you hear this term, the two sheikhs, and we're talking about the subject of hadith, then the two sheikhs here means Bukhari and Muslim. But if we're talking about tarikh, if we're talking about history, then the two sheikhs mean Abu Bakr and Umar, radiallahu ta'ala. So Sheikh Ubay, he says the first of the three issues or matters is the testimony of the leader of the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for all of them, the leader of all of them, for the two sheikhs, meaning Abu Bakr and Umar. As Sheikh Ubay says, by this tremendous, tremendous, eternal virtue, meaning this virtue and this excellence and superiority that Abu Bakr has in the next life. That is, Sayyida Kuhuli Ahl al-Jannah, that they are the leaders or the masters of the elderly people of Jannah. As a side note, Sheikh Ubay doesn't say this, but there are other ulama who have said this. This doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be old people in paradise. Because we know that there are no old people in paradise. But rather what it means is, meaning from the elderly people that were in the dunya, they're the masters of the elderly people who were in the dunya in paradise. not that there's old people in paradise, that there's a master of the elders in paradise, but rather that there's a master of the elders who lived in this life, both the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad, excepting the prophets and the messengers, that they will be the elders of the people from the dunya in paradise. This is the meaning of it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Sheikh Ubaidi goes on. This is with no exception except for the prophets and the messengers. He says because the prophets and the messengers, no one can outstrip them with superiority. He says, and this is a refutation. This is a refutation for the extremists from amongst the Sufis. Those who have the view and the opinion that their awliya, their saints, those people who they have raised up to sainthood, that have they raised them to positions that are above the prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Sheikh Ubaid said, and this is clear, explicit kufr. This is clear and explicit kufr. And as Sheikh Ubaid, he continues, he says, but he has an Ali, and in this also is the testimony of Ali, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, for the two sheikhs, meaning Abu Bakr and Umar. This is the testimony by way of the textual statement of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, testifying their excellence and their superiority. Sheikh Ubaid, he also says that this is a death blow. This is a fatal blow to the wrong people. And it is a refutation against them. Because they are the ones who are perpetuating, or they are the ones who are perpetrating this extremely horrendous crime. He says, and I say that it is kufr. It is kufr when they revile the two sheikhs, and they hate the two sheikhs, and they have enmity for the two sheikhs, and they have rancor for the two sheikhs, and they curse the two sheikhs, and they curse the daughters of the two sheikhs. He says, and the Rabi'a, the Shia, that it is agreed. It is agreed. We, Ahlul Sunnah, they agree with us with regards to the excellence of Ali, and at the same time, they disagree with us with regarding that Ali is the fourth of the four Khalifas of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that they agree, that they disagree, that he has, that a companion that's excellent. That the companions of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have excellence, and they do not have the view that Abu Bakr and Umar, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, had excellence over the rest of the companions of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So how is it that they could not accept this testimony of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and of this companion, meaning Ali, radiallahu anhu? The second issue that Sheikh Ubaid says, من قمت الشيخين هذه من قمت الأخروية وهي أسرى عاجلة لهما وفي هذا تنبيه إلى أنهما أفضل الأمة بعد نبيها صلى الله عليه وسلم وفي هذا ما يدعو إلى احترائهما وتوقيرهما والاعتراف بفضلهما. The second issue is that it shows the superiority of the two sheikhs, meaning Abu Bakr and Umar. It shows the superiority and the excellent virtue of the two sheikhs, and that this virtue that they have is a virtue in the next life, and it is a busra, meaning a glad tidings for them, the two of them, even in this life. And it is a glad tidings for them in this life. He says, and it is also a notification that the two of them are the most excellent of this ummah after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He says, and in that, it should call for respecting of them and the reverence of them and acknowledging their superiority. And lastly, we want to end it here. The Sheikh says that the Sheikh obeyed al-mastanis wa-stanika fin shikmati min nahyihi aliyyan radiallahu ta'ala anhu أن يخبر الشيخين بهذه المنقبة الذي يظهر لي أن الشيخين أبعد الناس عن الغرور والعجب بالمناقب، لكن أظن أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نهى عليا رضي الله عنه عن ذلك خشية أن يظلم فيهما من يظلم فتقعوا فتنة والله تعالى أعلم. Sheikh Ubayd says, the third matter from this hadith is the wisdom of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam prohibiting Ali رضي الله تعالى عنه from informing the two sheikhs, that is Abu Bakr and Umar, of the virtue, meaning while they're alive, as he said, لا تخبرهما يا علي ما دام حيين. Don't inform them, O Ali, as long as they're alive. So Sheikh Ubayd says, there's some great wisdom on why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited Ali from informing Abu Bakr and Umar of this great virtue. He says, and that which it seems to me, Sheikh Ubayd says, is that the two sheikhs are the farthest of the people. The farthest of the people from those who will be self-deluded. The farthest of the people who will be amazed with their own virtue. Will be amazed with their own virtue. He says, but I think that the Prophet, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he prohibited Ali from telling them that out of fear of the transgression and the extremism of those people who would eventually have that extremism against them, and therefore it would cause a great business, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And we're going to end it here because it is a complete hour, except for maybe 4 or 5 minutes. Ta'ala wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.